welcome this week to another episode of the Space Explored podcast. And with me this week, we have a new voice. I'll say new face, but right now he's just a great brick on Discord. But a new voice, our new content manager, Derek Wise. How are you? Join us. Talk about you.
What is there to say? I love filming launches. I'm excited to be a part of the team, and we've got lots of great stuff ahead of us.
Yeah, no, I'm super. We're all super excited to have you join on, because you've been you're a highly talented videographer, and we've been it's been really awesome that you came over and joined us. So we should get right into the news this week with kind of something that I don't think none of us were expecting to pop up this week, because it's usually not high on the list of nominations. But President Biden just announced his nomination for NASA administrator, which didn't really go with what he promised in the campaign, but I'm not honestly against it. So the person who he nominated is Bill Nelson. He's a politician from Florida. He was a local representative, I think, or local senator. He said he was like Florida state treasurer, Florida representative in the U.S. House, Florida senator. Sat on like all the subcommittees for space and science, because of course he had the district of with Kennedy Space Center in it. He even flew on STS-61C, which that was back when they had weird numbering. That was right before STS-51L, which was the Challenger disaster. And he was nominated for NASA administrator.
Yeah. I wasn't familiar with him at all before this. I wasn't expecting to know much about the new administrator, but now we have now he's been nominated, so we'll see what this leads to.
Yeah, he was a big supporter of SLS, and he wasn't really he wasn't a big supporter when he was in when he was in Congress. I think he stepped down in like 2011, I think, or something. I know he was a big part of retiring the shuttle. And I think he was a big part of moving towards commercialization. He wasn't as big as there was an Alabama governor, I think it was, senator, I think, that was did all he could to get SLS more money and not commercial space. But I know Bill Nelson wasn't a big fan of commercial space and more of a fan of SLS. But since not much really happened in his district for SLS other than launches, he just wanted more launches. So he eventually went with commercializing the, commercial crew and commercial cargo, which was obviously the right choice.
Yeah.
So now he's been go ahead.
Now it's so tied together with commercial crew and commercial space companies working alongside NASA. They're stuck on that path. They can't really go back at this point.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were concerned because he's a politician.
Yeah.
They were looking for a woman. President Biden promised a woman. He did nominate a female. Is there an assistant or deputy? I don't remember what the term is. I know they're two different. I know they're two different positions, I think. I'm not sure. But I know he did nominate. She used to be an astronaut as well. And she's sat on a couple company boards, I believe. So really qualified assistant. Or deputy, I don't remember which one. I apologize, but people are concerned that he's a politician, especially not a well liked politician. I don't think a lot of people liked what he, his choices. But we just got done with having how many years? Was it like 3 years, 2 years with Bridenstine, who was also a politician. So he did wonders. We all loved. We all ended up being really sad when he stepped down. So I think we're going to be in good hands. Especially, you really can't undo a lot right now. As so much has been, up and going, and you can see the good of what commercialization's done. So,
yeah, and I definitely think it's amazing how much the public perception of these politicians that have come into these roles has changed during their actual time in these positions, seeing what they do when they move from politician to administrator, how they change.
Yeah, because Jim Bridenstine changed a lot too. He came in denying global warming to being very much pro, like global warming is an issue and we need to fix it. So I think we're in pretty much good hands. At least it looks like it. Hopefully we'll see in a couple of years and see where we land up. But more NASA news is that the SLS Green Run was successful this week as well, finally, after the first launch, which ended, it was just after 2 minutes, right?
I don't think it lasted that long. I think it was a little over a minute. It did not go nearly as long as they hoped.
Yeah, so that was back in January, and it took them after a while of figuring out what the issue was, and then solving that issue, and then fixing a valve, and then storm. I think there was like some delays with some storms, and then we finally
That was a big issue with the storms holding everything off. And then there were people saying, see, more delays. And it's like, no, these are natural disasters that need to be addressed. People's lives need to be addressed before we can put focus on the moving forward with the SLS.
Yeah. And so they finally got around to doing it this last week. Was it last Thursday, I believe. Right. And it ran for the full 8 minutes, which they wanted to. I think they just needed it to run for 4 minutes. So for sounds bad, but for once NASA finally, you know, like overachieved on their SLS goal.
Well, yeah, that's over budget and behind schedule, but yep, they got past the 4 minute mark.
Yeah. So they got the 8 minutes and like 5 seconds or 0.05 seconds. I don't remember what it was over. So, I think they said, I don't remember what the date was for when they're going to get it to, but it's going to take like a month or something like that, a month and a half or something.
Yeah. Last I saw, the engineers were still looking over all the data, making sure that everything was good so that it can be refurbished and then shipped off to Kennedy.
Yeah. So they're waiting at there. I'm hoping to actually come down for that when it arrives. I'm hoping for maybe May. That's what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. That just worked out personally for me. I know I'd rather have it be there like now, but if I want to travel, I think May would be good.
One of the things we saw during the test was there was a small amount of flame above the engines themselves in where they're like these insulating blankets. And that's to be expected with this sort of thing. And so they have to replace that before it is actually going to be able to fly in Artemis 1. I think they're still saying before the end of the year, but it's like within the year is more realistic.
Yeah, within the year,
to actually have a flight on Artemis 1.
Yeah, within a year is definitely more reliable. So, they had the flame. That's right, they had the flame pop up. I think that's because of like low pressure there. Like the flame kind of like gets sucked up into it, I think, or something like that. I don't remember. I remember that happened on the shuttle as well. They would get like a concentration of like flame get trapped between the three engines. And I thought that was because there was a low pressure there or something weird. Something that's I'm not smart enough for that. So not at all. So we got next up with like some SpaceX news, because of course SpaceX is just like everywhere. If you guys listen to the Electric podcast, like half the Electric podcast is Tesla news, and like half of the Space Export podcast is SpaceX news, which is like, it's just because they do so much. So we got to see two boosters in the port this week, which
that was really cool.
Not just two boosters, we've seen two boosters, but this is the first time we've seen two vertical boosters.
Yeah, so B-1058 was still vertical in the port when B-1051 came in, and it was really cool seeing both of them in here. And that also kind of goes into the next thing. When they're using both drone ships like that, they're going to need another one pretty soon, aren't they?
Yeah. Like it was cool to see two of them pop in. And like, I was sad that I wasn't able to go down there and see that. But you're thinking like, man, they need more boosters. They need more drone ships. And
they do.
It got spotted a day or two later that there is another Octograbber in the work. An Octograbber is like the little robotic.
Not little. It's pretty massive. Let's be real. We're just looking compared to the boosters themselves.
Compared to the booster, it's tiny, but it's a pretty big robot. But it pretty much it gets remote controlled out, goes underneath the booster after it's landed on the drone ship, and just like holds on for dear life, pretty much. Which is some of the ones with it, like I can't remember which one this was that came in, like off right on the edge of the drone ship.
The crew one booster.
Yeah. Was that 58, 51?
I don't know which one. That might have been 51. I cannot remember. I genuinely cannot remember.
You know what? Never mind. It was a different number. I don't remember. But yeah, like it was like leaning and it was like right at the end. And just like Dr. Rabber's just holding on for your life. Like you're not going anywhere. Like you're not diving into the ocean. And they build them over and they have a facility over in Cocoa. They have a couple facilities down there, but one down in, over in Cocoa, which manufactures a whole bunch of loose odd end pieces, like holders for fairings and other stuff. And one of the things they were building was Octograb, or someone went by, got a picture of it, which kind of begs the question, if there's three Octograbbers, where is this Octograb going to go on? And for the longest time, Elon's been kind of hinting at a third drone ship, named a shortfall of gravitas.
Yes.
And I think he's even tweeted that it is being worked on,
Was like 2018 that he said it was in the works. And then he confirmed last year that it would be called a shortfall of gravitas. He straight up just said that. I think he tweeted a shortfall of gravitas with no context a few years back.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be interesting to see where that thing pops up. I know. I think Daryl went over today around Louisiana where just where the instructions was being repaired on. Like, was it 2 years ago? And he saw nothing. So not sure where this new drone ship's going to be, but and where it's going to end up. I think some speculation is it might end up on the West Coast to fill the needs there. It might end up on the East Coast for some stuff, and then one of the older ships might head over to the West Coast. It kind of all depends. I have no really idea what they're planning on, and it probably won't get. Maybe Elon might tweet something. Who knows? Like we, that's like
SpaceX isn't going
to. Yeah, SpaceX isn't going to release a press release or anything like that. I don't even think they even do press releases, but.
Elon. Tesla doesn't have their PR team. Elon really isn't in favor of too much PR.
Oh yeah, that's true. he is the PR team. So
yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the addition of that is going to speed up. I mean, if we have three drone ships on the East Coast, it's going to be just cooking them out. Just going pretty much.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting to see when that one pops up and what it looks like too. If it's going to look I assume it'll look the same as the other two, but you know, maybe some upgrades and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, once one of the drone ships, assuming it does go to the West Coast, that'll be a big deal. In right now, they're all return to launch site missions, and that dramatically decreases the possible payloads they can get out of there. Mm-hmm. And now West Coast has been primarily more for the polar launches, which now are able to happen here. But whether it is to support a center core of a Falcon Heavy out here at one point, or whether it is to whether it moves over to the West Coast, it remains to be seen. But I think it's pretty likely that one of the drone ships moves to the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. Having one over there would be greatly appreciated, I think, to the polar launch community of launchers or satellite providers. Another upgrade for the I see you changing that in the show notes.
SpaceX ships.
Speaking of upgrades, a new fairing scooping ship. There's no longer a fairing catching ship. That is valid. They don't catch. They haven't been catching the fairings for a while now. SpaceX has had Miss Tree and Miss Chief, or Miss Chef, Miss Chief.
Chief.
Chief, Chief, Mischief, Mystery, whatever. On the East Coast for fairing recovery. And they've tried catching them. It's been like, 2 years? Because they had, before it was, one of the ships was named Mr. Stevens, which to this point, I forget what it got named to. But, so one of the ships was named Mr. Steven, which was, I think, probably one of the greatest names of a ship, hands down. I'm really sad that they renamed it, but and they I remember that they used that for was it Arabsat? Was like one, was one of their like first couple missions, I think they tried it, which was like,
this is before my time.
This was 2019.
Yeah.
When they started, and they've caught a couple. One of them caught, one of them actually went through the net and caused a lot of damage. And since around that point, that was earlier this year.
One of them like missed the net. It like,
yeah, it like went under the net and then landed on the deck.
And it was like upside down on the deck. And I think it caused some amount of damage to, whether it was a GPS antenna or something, it caused a little bit of damage to the ship itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember the past couple of months they've been, the two ships have kind of been like under repair, and they've taken down the arms. I think there's only like one of the ships that have two arms up. And these are the craziest looking ships on the board. Like, you look at those, you're like, that's not a fishing ship. Like, the net's in the wrong place.
They're so cool to see. They're so cool. They just have these massive nets hanging from them.
Yeah. And so they've been using Go Searcher and Go Navigator for the past couple of months to just scoop these fairings out of the ocean. They have, of course, SpaceX. They reuse their fairings as well as their first stage boosters with some parachutes. And apparently this has been working out for them, I guess, and more reliable and probably way safer. So a new ship kind of showed up at the port, and it's called MV Sheila Bordelon. I think I pronounced it. I just call it Sheila because, and I think this might be my new favorite ship. It's pink and purple. It is huge as well. Like, I think it's like it, some of the photos next to Miss, next to the other fairing catchers, the sisters, as we call them, they're dwarfed by the size of the ship. Is that true? Like, I've only seen pictures. You've probably been, I don't know if you were down there or not to see it.
I have not seen it.
Okay. It looks like the port space that Mystery and Mischief would like take up can be taken up by just this one ship. So, it's pretty big. And it has a nice big crane in the back, and it did some testing the other day. It was with a fairing. I think it was Friday. And it looks like that's going to be the new fairing scooper. I like your change.
Because so, notably, when Mischief and Mistree are catching, they're running an autopilot software with the fairings, and the fairing has like a steerable parafoil. And so they sort of try to meet up at the same point to catch them. And so in order to catch both of them, both the ships would have to be out there. But if they decide to catch one and scoop one, I believe they can just get by with one ship.
Yes.
The fairings are much simpler than the boosters, of course. So being in the salt water isn't nearly as big a deal. So they can refly fairings that have been in the salt water with just minimal cleaning and whatnot. I'm not sure what exactly goes into that refurbishment. And so they are subject to, like, if there are heavy waves that could break the fairings in the water, that sort of thing, that could create some issues. But they seem to have had a good bit of success with just scooping them out of the water. And so avoiding having to send out two ships for every mission could be definitely be a good thing if they can just bring both fairing backs at once, and then they
if you looked at the photos, because so the most of the other ships that SpaceX uses on the East Coast are by Geist Offshore, which is a private company that contracts out these ships. They kind of manage them. It's way cheaper for SpaceX to do that than own the ships. And this is the same thing. I don't know what NV stands for again. I know Bordelon. I think Bordelon. I just realized Elon's in there, so maybe that's why I got picked. But that's the name of the company that handles these ships. And these are much newer ships. I think this was built like back in 2012, I think. And if you look at the photos, like,
it was built in 2014.
Oh, 2014. Okay. I was close. If you look at the photos of these, like, inside, it's kind of cool. Like, they have lounges. There's like, it can hold up to 60 people, like 60 crewmates. It has like a couple, there's a couple of kitchens, not just one kitchen, and like all this other stuff, which is really, yeah, so there's laundry on board, which I didn't even think of when I was thinking of like a ship. Like, yeah, they probably should do laundry. That makes sense. So it does look like an upgrade for the SpaceX people who go out on the ship with them.
It's a beautiful looking ship.
and it's pink and purple. Like, you can't get, how do you, how do you complain with a Susan G, it even has like the Susan G. Komen like logo on the side for breast cancer. Like, how can you get mad with this ship? It's awesome. So, another new thing that kind of popped up this week, was with our little toy helicopter on Mars.
Ingenuity.
Ingenuity. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to fly. So
tell us about that.
Yeah. Ingenuity is a small helicopter that's on the belly of Perseverance, and they're going to be getting ready for its first flight coming up as soon as the first week of April. We're going to get more information on Tuesday, but yeah, it's a small little helicopter. It's only going to have about a 30-day campaign, up to 5 flights, and each flight will only last like up to 90 seconds maximum. But the very first one, it'll only be a 20 or 30-second flight hovering a few feet above the ground. It's pretty limited in range for the time being, only being able to fly 160 feet from the airfield, and then it has to always return back to that airfield because they can't risk landing somewhere that it'll be knocked over, because they can't exactly go pick it up and set it upright like you could with a drone here. So yeah, it has 2 cameras. It has a black and white navigation camera as well as a color camera that's aimed at the horizon. And so all of these flights are going to be done by the time we here on Earth get any information about them. So it's sort of doing its own thing, gathering some video. I believe the total cost of everything related to it was like $85 million, which for the whole cost of Mars 2020, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
And so this will be the first time we're having a controlled and powered flight on another planet, which is really cool and could open up the future of more flights, because it's pretty limited by the atmosphere, because Mars does not have much of an atmosphere. It's helped a little bit by the lower gravity, but they really had to work. They have massive rotors compared to a very small weight. And like I said, it can only fly for 90 seconds before it has to sit for a few days and recharge its batteries. Has to deal with massive temperature differences, which, as you know, the extreme cold really degrades batteries. So it has to deal with a lot. I believe it was discharged down and held at 35% charge for the duration of like launch and the mission there, because that's what the team determined to be the optimum level of charge to keep the battery lasting since before July.
Yeah, like they're like, there's just people who know everything about batteries, and they're like, well, we're gonna cycle the batteries this many times, and we're gonna hold it at this percentage because it's healthiest for the battery. It's like talking to a Tesla owner how they charge your car. You have to know when you get a Tesla, you kind of like gotta know like how to charge your car.
The 80-20 rule, you don't want to go below 20%, you don't want to go above 80%.
Yeah, like,
and it's
stuff like that.
There's so much that they have put into this.
Every so often, you want to go all the way down to the end and then charge all the way up just so it knows its limits still. Like, there's so much. But yeah, as I've always referred to Ingenuity as like as the Sojourner, pretty much, as of the rovers. You know, Sojourner was pretty much taken on by a lander, which before Sojourner, landers were really the only thing that you could really do, landers and impactors. And now the only thing we still send some landers, but most of them, like, now we're sending rovers, pretty much. Like, and now we're sending a little helicopter on a rover. And because I'm hoping that the future, because there's I can't remember the name of the mission that's supposed to go to one of the moons of Jupiter or Saturn. I can't remember which one, but it's pretty much like Perseverance, but instead of wheels, it has like, it's a quadcopter. It's like one of those crazy things that someone came up with for like a future possible mission. I'm like, I want to see that so bad. But yeah, so I'm just looking forward to get more information on that and seeing when they're going to start flying that. I hope they live stream it. I really hope they live stream it.
Well, as live as they can.
Well, I want to just get a live stream with just the reaction on the faces of the
people. Yeah, it'll be, because I mean, we know how long it took for them to release the images and videos, and there was a lot of conversation on multiple sides on why haven't we gotten more information. Mm-hmm. And so in order to actually, it could take a little bit of time to get the photos, whether it's from the black and white navigation camera or the color camera. It'll take, in addition to the actual time to the latency, it'll take additional time to get all that data sent. But
yeah, because I think it has to get sent. I don't know if the rover has the ability to talk with like the orbiters. I think it has to get sent to the rover, and the rover has to go to the orbiter.
Yeah, so the drone, the Perseverance rover will be parked, I forget the exact distance, away from the airfield. But yes, Ingenuity will communicate with Perseverance that will then
the video from that's pass it all. Insane. The photos and the videos is going to be insane from both vehicles. Watching it like get the it just like kind of slowly raise up from Perseverance perspective is going to be crazy. I can't wait.
I didn't even think about the video from Perseverance's perspective.
It's gonna
I didn't
be so
even
cool.
think about that.
It's going to be. I think there's. Oh, I think they have video. They have a video camera there, is there, or is it just like high frame rate camera?
They have video cameras.
They do have a video camera. I can't remember.
They have. I had done a whole thing on. They had a bunch of different ones, so okay. They'd probably use Mastcam, I would assume, mm-hmm. To track it. If they can somehow program it, I guess.
I'm sure they're gonna know exactly where it is before
they're gonna have so much information on this that we can't mm-hmm. even begin to comprehend. But that would be so really cool.
Yeah. So seeing that thing fly for the first time is going to be great. One thing we're not going to see fly for the first time is Starship's Super Heavy Booster BN-1.
Yeah. Yeah. That won't be going anywhere.
So for Starship news this week, we always start at the end because, you know, there's news every single week about Starship. It's been a relatively quiet week flight-wise. I think before last week, we were all I think the plan was we're going to get a SAC fire then a flight in by the end of the week. Because everything's kind of already approved and lined up, and they seem to have been getting their testing timeline more and more efficient. There was a static fire. Was it last week or was it the week before of SN11? I think there was a static fire, but it did not look.
I hate to admit this. I have stopped paying attention to the static fires.
Yes, I believe I kind of like we used to write an article about every single static fire, but it's kind of like. Like it's a static fire. Like it's like a 1 second static fire. And all it means is that we're gonna get a flight soon. So yeah, there was a static fire. It seemed to not even start up all three engines. Like it was did not look good. Hmm. So there's gonna be another one. I think as soon as tomorrow on Monday, and then sometime I think they're it's like 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. I think is their window. I think. For that, one possible reason why we've had such a quiet week is it is spring break season.
Oh, yeah, that.
And South Padre Island, which is about an hour. Well, it's a just like about 4 miles north, but it's like an hour drive away. Port Isabel gets in the way. It kind of sucks. But yeah, that's the Boca Chica Beach, which is just down the road from their launch site, which is I don't know how popular it is for spring break. Never went down there for spring break, but I know South Padre Island is a huge spring break town, especially for surfers. And Boca Chica, and that's going to be a real busy beach with a bunch of bars and all that stuff down along the beach. Down at Boca Chica Beach is much more quieter. So I'm assuming that gets some good surfers and people just wanting to enjoy the beach more than like the party atmosphere. So that is possibly a reason why they have not done a lot this week. They don't want to. It's kind of like the county kind of has to weigh its options. Like, SpaceX brings a lot of tourism, but like spring break brings in a hell of a lot of tourism. So we'll kind of give them some time to do stuff.
And so SpaceX still doesn't want to. They don't want to be on the bad side. They don't want to look like the bad guys here. So.
I don't think SpaceX could ever get on the bad side of the county. Unless they start launching rockets in the Brownsville, but that would be like the only way.
So, but like the public as well. Like there's definitely an amount of public.
The public loves him down there. Yeah, they love him. So it'd be really hard to get on the city and the administrator's bad side. But they do. The county probably wants to, and keep up the strong tourism from spring break. So we are getting into like the busy season for them when it comes to like surfing and vacation. So
on BN1 being a Pathfinder not flying.
Oh yeah, so BN1 got stacked as well. We should talk about
that. Yeah, so they stacked BN1. Elon, it's been basically known, but yeah, he confirmed. Yeah, it's a Pathfinder. It's not going to fly. But what if they decide to what was it, SN 7.1 with it?
Oh, and go pop it?
What if they pop it?
I don't think they would, because it is built exactly like the Starships. So, like, they've stopped popping Starships. They've stopped doing – they do some cryoproofing, but that's pretty much it. I could see them doing a cryoproof, do a fuel-up test of it, fit checks with some Raptor engines, because we did see that the bottom portion of the booster had, like, hookups for 4 engines, I think. Okay. So I could see them doing a fit check, because I think there's a possibility that BN2, which is going to be the first one to fly, might have 4 engines on it. So they might do a fit check of the engines, maybe do some cryoproofing, some fueling tests, stuff like that. So that's a possibility, 100% a possibility that they might try to push this thing as far. But primarily it's for like how to stack it, how to transport it, how to move it, how to do all this stuff with something that is as moving a Falcon 9 vertically, pretty much. Usually those are moved horizontally and they're not moved all at once unless it's at the launch pad. So,
well, I don't mean to change the discussion, but Elon did tweet, there was a discussion about on Twitter about the first city on Mars beginning, and about Mars Base Alpha's construction. But Elon said, hopefully will happen this decade. All right, Elon. All right, Elon.
We might see an orbital flight this year. And I think he's been saying it this year. He was saying it last year, I think. But I don't think anyone could. I don't know. But Starbase Alpha this decade, apparently.
All right, let's go.
All right. Yeah, so BN1 got fully stacked, and yeah, they're going to do some testing. Because the Falcon 9, they've only ever moved that thing horizontally, unless it's on a drone ship and it's a landed core, which doesn't really ever – it doesn't relate at all to how they're going to move, BN1. So it's going to be – I cannot wait for that thing to move out. I want to go down.
Yeah, like we saw wasn't it SN10 that fell over in the bay? It just like tipped into the side, and it's like – now we're getting this super heavy booster that's going to be driving down the road. Like that's going to be complicated. They're definitely going to need to keep people a good distance away from that thing.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine that. Like, cause when they've moved the Starships, they've kind of like let like press kind of stay on the side of the road. And they kind of push them back like 15 feet.
Yeah. They have like security vehicles. People have to stay behind so that they aren't.
Yeah. Well, they've allowed farther like
back.
They've like allowed press to stay on the side of the road. We've had Austin Bernard like literally right next to it as it goes by, like at the Starships. I can't imagine they're going to let them do that. But then again, it is
not for the Pathfinder at the very least.
Then again, it is SpaceX. So
yeah,
who knows?
And it is a public road.
It's a public road.
They're going to have to work with the sheriff department even more.
The sheriffs usually are down there all the time when they move the close the road down. And when they move stuff around, it's not like a hard closure. It's kind of like they'll block it off at the start and then they'll keep people back a certain distance until it's back there. I think they do actually keep it closed down by the entrance of the manufacturing in case they have to go back, I think, actually. So, it would be interesting to see what they do. I think it's gonna be stupid watching that thing roll down. Like I remember being down there for SN8's flight, and you could see Starship from like miles away, this big shiny metal thing, and something's gonna be like, it's like 1.5 times taller, like stupid. It's not like so stupid.
I'm excited.
In a good way. In a good way. So look,
this is going to be great. This is going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to getting like the photos from like Isablanca Park, which is over in the southernmost part of South Padre Island, and just seeing like this just looks so tall, like so tall. All right, that's this week's episode of the Space Explorer Podcast. I appreciate Derek. Thanks for coming on the show to talk with me.
Thanks for having me. This is a good discussion.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for listening. If you guys want to check us out, we're on, of course, all the podcast platforms. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can also listen to us at spaceexplorer.com as well. And if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at Seth Kirk, STTHKURK. And if you can follow Derek, he is at
Derek is Wise.
One of the greatest of ads on the Twitter. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you guys all next week or in a couple days, depends on when we record. See ya.